are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci on Radio Row, Super Bowl 48. Here in Midtown Manhattan, it's happening in Manhattan. Shop That's the right. biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. We are happy to bring in finally, our great friend and analyst, former Browns offensive lineman, analyst for the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Mr. Doug Deacon. All right, Deke, we got the phone issues resolved. Only took about 2 days, but we got it done.
Well, I finally paid my bill. That was it.
Yeah, you got to do that, buddy. Every now and then you got to send them a check. Hey, Deke, we haven't had a chance to get your reaction, so let's cut to the chase. Your reaction to Mike Patton being hired as the new head coach of the Browns?
I think, you know, just listening to what I've seen, obviously I wasn't there for the press conference, but, you know, reading what I've read, you know, he seems like a solid guy that, you know, earned his way up the ranks. And, you know, he's a driven man. I mean, to go from a video guy to a head coach in the NFL, I mean, we've seen other coaches do that. And, you know, most of those that have done it and earned their way up have been very successful.
Deke, when you look at this staff, you know, with Mike Patton, he brought a lot of guys with him on the defensive side of the ball. Things are good. Of the names out there, we know they're interviewing Kyle Shanahan for the offensive coordinator position. What do you want to see on the offensive side of the ball?
I think somebody that, you know, obviously can, you know, keep a balanced attack. And, you know, the big key is what, you know, what they're going to end up at quarterback. And I think, you know, you've got to have somebody that can, you know, develop a quarterback, because if you're going to draft one, you got to develop them once you get them. And, you know, get them into the NFL ranks, because it's totally different than a college system. And I think, you know, that's going to be the important part. Somebody that can, you know, build around a quarterback, and whoever they draft, whoever it's going to be, make that guy, you know, like a franchise quarterback. Like, you know, you look at the Peyton Mannings and the Breezes and people like that. You know, those are the teams that are consistently winners. And, you know, even a Russell Wilson, although he's young, you know, he seems to have, you know, they've found a niche for him, and they've built an offense around him.
Deke, that's the sort of macro formula, if you will, to make sure you get some success with a football team. Obviously, get that position right and get the coaching of it right. But from a micro sense, as you analyze what happened last year or what didn't happen last year with Rob Chudzinski, and really broke down what this team was all about in 2013, what does Mike Patton have to do, you know, differently, other than win, differently to work with a team that we know has six Pro Bowlers, has some base talent, does have a lot of holes to fill? But as you study it, what's the biggest thing you're looking for this new coach to do?
Well, I think, you know, take the Pro Bowl players that he has, and hopefully, you know, keep the couple of them that are, you know, obviously going to be free agents, and, you know, build around them. I mean, you know, you've got solid parts there, but now, you know, you've got to, you know, find once you find the kind of offense, and then say if you get a Kyle Shanahan and you run the stretch plays like they did in Denver and Houston. You know, you have the athletic guards that can, you know, move in space and, you know, chop block down the line of scrimmage, so you can run the stretch plays. And I think, you know, it all depends on who the coordinator is going to be. And I think, you know, to some extent, you know, once you get the coordinator, that'll kind of determine what way you want to go offensively.
Deke, if it is Kyle Shanahan, lots of zone blocking likely to be involved in the running game. How do you see that matching up with who the Browns currently have, and what would they have to add to their offensive line to make that scheme a success?
Well, I think, you know, probably we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think, you know, the guards would probably have to be a little more athletic. You know, obviously Joe Thomas can do it. Alex Mack, if, you know, he stays, he can do it. And I think Mitchell Schwartz could probably do it. But I think, you know, you're going to have to get a little more athletic maybe at the guard position. And, you know, that's just one of those things, because you've got to be able to move as an offensive lineman down the line of scrimmage, where you know, when you run the stretch plays, you give the defense running too, and then all of a sudden the, you know, running back reads the holes and he picks them and he cuts back, or he stays on his path and goes around the corner.
All right, Deke, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Finally, glad to catch up with you, and I know we'll do this again next week. Please keep paying that.
You know, of all those, you know, the offensive coordinators, another name I know you're probably familiar with, Vic, is Mike Mularkey. I know he took a job down in Tennessee as a tight ends coach, but I don't know if he's available, too. So, I mean, there's other names out there besides just the two we've seen.
No, there are, and I know Mike, and didn't work out for him as a head coach, but he does have a pretty good skill when it comes to, and I think that's what happens. A guy gets to the head coaching level, sometimes we forget, you know, they were pretty good coordinators, right? And
yeah,
and that they and
that's
that,
how they get the head coaching job.
Yeah, and then if it doesn't work out as a head coach, well, you know, he's not a good coach. But actually, that would not be the worst name to put on the list. If things don't, we'll see where it goes from here. But, Deke, thank you, and I know we'll catch up next week.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. He is the one and only Doug Deacon joining us from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And now the one and only Gerard Cherry, regular on this show, joins us. Hello, Gerard.
What's going on, the Notorious?
Over here in New York and Radio Row. And I know you'd have a field day here. So many of your former, I bet there's some former teammates for sure, but certainly a lot of friends in the National Football League filling this place out, the Sheraton New York Hotel. But I want to get into this with you as far as what we talked about a little earlier on Peyton Manning's legacy. And then we had Woody Page on also from the Denver Post at ESPN, excuse me, and basically writing what I wrote for ClevelandBrowns.com as well, to the tune of he's got to win this game. I mean, if there's one player who needs a win Sunday, it's Manning. His legacy needs it.
It's a tough one, Vic, because on a lot of levels, these guys are already claiming him as the best quarterback of all time based purely upon what he's done in the regular season. Now, if you're going to go the route that I go and say Super Bowls matter, then yes, he needs to win this game. It's imperative. But at the same time, his legacy is already cemented. We know he's going to be a Hall of Famer. We know he's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time. But to be truly, truly without a shadow of a doubt the greatest of all time, I think he needs this one and maybe one more to be in that Joe Montana slash, in my opinion, Tom Brady conversation.
And if he doesn't get it, it is the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. A backhanded compliment? I still think it's a pretty good thing. That's a pretty big body of work.
Yeah, it's a great thing to be called that. But at the same time, you want your wife to say you're the second best lover she's ever had. So, you don't want that moniker.
That's
you want to be number one.
Talking.
That's the Como. That's definitely the Como out of. Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. Okay. You know what? That hit home with a lot of people.
Good point.
That's a good point. I'm with Gerard here. And look, a man that we're talking with here owns multiple Super Bowl rings and knows what that means and the definition of greatness as it applies to championships. And I think that's the part that rings a little hollow. And Peyton Manning's smart enough to know that you're going to be judged that way. And he can do zero about the conversation unless his football team wins.
Exactly. And in his case, as long as he doesn't play a similar game in one in which he played last time in the Super Bowl and throw those interceptions and have those costly plays, he won't be that adversely affected if they do not win. But, yeah, guys, I'm of the mindset he wants it. He can't press for it. And he's done the things necessary to get there. And in the fact that he's gone with another team and made there is an attribute to his greatness. So I've been really tough on Peyton, and you know why, because he used to play for the Colts.
Right.
But at the same time, I do have the utmost respect for what he's able to accomplish, and the fact he's come back from such a harsh injury and playing at the level he's playing is very impressive. But I think either said or done, he's going to go down as one of the greatest. The greatest, I will not say that unless he gets a couple more, three to four Super Bowl wins, and I say he will be probably considered the greatest, but I don't see that happening as well.
Gerard, what do you think about Richard Sherman this week? All the attention, obviously, he's gotten in the media and the way that he's kind of used that platform to, in fact, I think, educate people about, you know, what it means to be a thug, why he's not a thug, just his experiences, the great articles he's written at Monday Morning Quarterback. Where do you stand on Richard Sherman right now? Are you impressed with what he's done? Do you think it's all a distraction for his team at this point that he's getting so much spotlight? What do you think about Sherman?
Nathan, being from the Bay Area, you know this is tough on me to admit this and say this.
Me too, man.
Before a Stanford guy, he's pretty damn smart.
That's right.
That's just a fact of the matter for me, because he has played everyone like a fiddle. He's created this narrative in which he's this bombastic, outright, dirty, mean, nasty persona. And then he comes when it's all focused on him, he flips it. He goes to, you know, I'm conscientious. I'm considerate. I'm smart. I'm calculated. I'm well-versed. He gives you that side of his persona as well. So I'm very impressed because that's marketable. Everything he's done thus far is marketable. So he's showing you all facets of his character. And I don't know how you could possibly even plan out what he's done, but it has been very interesting, to say at least, to watch him do what he's doing, because he is playing the media to his benefit.
And the last one is the complete opposite end of Richard Sherman on the same football team. Marshawn Lynch not talking with reporters during the entire season and has drawn fines to the tune of $50,000 from the NFL for that silence. Now that he is at the Super Bowl, where there, again, media requirements among players, they have to have media obligations or participate, show up. And he's basically done that and not much more. But what do you say for a guy when Deion Sanders from NFL Network was pressing him on the question, was basically saying, what was the quote, Nathan?
What? Which quote?
From Marshawn Lynch, you know, saying about the – basically
– It's all about the – what do you say? It's all about the balling or something.
It's all about
like
the – yeah. He said it better than that, but whatever.
Yes,
the line.
Did.
The line was about playing and letting that right. do his talk for him. How do you view the Lynch approach to things?
One, for a guy that went to Cal, he's doing our degree of disservice right there by not saying anything. And the second part of it, too, is Marshawn, this is a promotion of the sport. Yes, I understand you're there about business, and you do need that attitude and that demeanor and that mentality when you step on a football field Sunday at, 6:35 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You do need to possess that mentality. At the same time, though, you have to sell the game. And if you have the opportunity to sell yourself but not overshoot the team, go ahead and do that. Now, he's got a Skittles commercial or advertisement from doing what he's done, so maybe in his mind he doesn't need to do anything. But at the same time, man, if your coach is telling you, hey, we're a team, go out there and do your part because the team is also doing it as well, that's where you say, you know what, this is not about me. So that part troubles me because he made that about him and what he wanted to do, as opposed to going along with the rest of the team who had to answer the same silly questions, the same redundant questions, and the same unnecessary questions.
All right.
And I think that was some of the feelings. Some people were a little bit upset because now that is kind of taking away from the team and whatever. And the quote was, I'm just about that action, boss.
Just about that. That's right. I'm just about that action, boss.
That is funny.
All right.
Though.
Hey, boss, thank you, Gerard. We'll talk with you tomorrow.
All right. Take care, guys.
Gerard Cherry joining us. Want to thank him. Want to thank Woody Page from ESPN and the Denver Post for being part of the show. Jay Glazer from Fox Sports. Also here, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. We had a hell of a lineup today, and he's also from Football
better.
Night in America. That's right, NBC's Football Night in America. And Alex Marvez with us as well from Fox Sports 1. It is only going to get better. We're going to have actors and other folks piling on in this show in the next 2 days. Going to hear from Browns players as well. Josh Gordon, Brian Hoyer are going to be here on Radio Row on Friday. So we've got that to look forward to. We got so much to look forward to. As I broadcast to you from Super Bowl 48 from Radio Row, wanted to thank Carly McCord for tweeting throughout the show, and check out the Browns Daily Wrap that she is putting together that will be posted on ClevelandBrowns.com later today. Also want to thank our outstanding producer, Jason Gibbs, for just being Jason, for just keeping this thing together for us from Cleveland as I'm here in New York, and then we got Nathan and back there in Northeast Ohio. All right, we'll do this again tomorrow. And stay tuned for Julian Gerard. That is coming up next. For Nathan Zagura, I'm Vic Carucci saying you've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty 4.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.